heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Conflicting ideologies, years of warfare, battles and beheadings, armies meeting on the battlefields, weapons of mass destruction, terrorism, betrayals, attempts at changing the balance of power in the world in a quest for unified leadership and freedom from oppression by domineering states, promises of a utopian world where all people are equal and free. The parallels are striking. In the fantasy, seven factions survive and one of them demand their independence. Now, that's on the Game of Thrones. If you've been watching that, came to an end, Armageddon, huh? Fantasy, or does it mimic our world somewhat? Now, what about these parallels? And it goes on. It's like we've been talking about. It's the battle of good and evil. That's what we're in. It's a conflict of cultures. The impossibilities of putting differences aside portrayed in this fantasy are really probably no different than realities of our current world right now that we live in. So what do you think? Did the writers that created this fantasy, did they draw this up as some sort of parallel of our history in our world? That happens a lot out there, actually. You know, you draw from your own experiences, your own knowledge base. That's what writers do. You draw from your own mindset of what you're thinking. All right, so in the Game of Thrones, one of the factions is called the North. It's an isolated group that really wants to remain independent. This would obviously be America, right? Another is portrayed as an Eastern faction, even to the point of their, like, the curved swords they use and the mystical dragons. Potentially, this is Iran, Persia, kind of, right? That's that area. And then, of course, you've got, there are seafaring nations in there as well that one time were very dominant. We have a history of those through history here, right? The British, potentially. And there's a lot of others that mimic that. This quest for one world with unified leadership. Full disclosure right now, I've never seen an episode of this. I can't even watch a nine-inning baseball game, let alone a whole history and season of the Game of Thrones, right? And today, friends, it's about globalism and nationalism. And when I say they've collided a bit here, these two schools of thought, you know, there's no transparency now in the Game of Thrones, from what I understand. Well, that would match up real well, folks, because there's no transparency in this world either, is there? You know, and this is all in the name of unity, by the way. And I call it's a cabal of leaders that are orchestrating and collaborating. And when you really start to connect the lines here, this includes the Fourth Estate. This includes the media. They're absolutely in cahoots with all of this. So listen, we can sit and joke about it, laugh about it, ha, 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 you know, over happy hour and talk about all this stuff. And, you know, what are they really looking at? And then when you start to connect some of the dots here and you see what's going on, it does get very interesting. It does seem like it's some kind of a game of something. If it ain't a Game of Thrones, it's a game of BS, right? For sure. But, you know, there's a lack of trust out there. We have betrayal, alliances for personal gain. There's a lot of that out there. Just AKA the Clinton Foundation will help you with that one. And there's tons more. Well, they exist in both fantasy and they exist in reality here as well in this world. So as we turn it on here, friends, there's a hysteria out there in Washington and really from sea to shining sea. Some people call it Trump derangement syndrome. Others say there's a constitutional crisis. Yeah. And then, of course, everybody's after Attorney General William Barr. He's become sort of, everybody's poking Barr at this point. They want to know what's going on with Barr. Why do you think they're worried about Barr? You think he's onto something? Possibly? I think we all know he's onto something, right? Perhaps he's onto the shadow government. And, of course, they all operate in a hidden sort of way. We don't really know what goes on. Hell, we can't even get accountability for the hush fund in Washington, D.C. to really know what's going on, right? It's all sort of hidden. And yet this is really supposed to be the best government on the planet. This is the best there is available, yet we still don't know a lot. And they want it that way. They want us to be stupid at the end of the day. Works real well for their agenda, doesn't it now, friends? You know, these people are entrenched in all kinds of agencies, administrations, and it goes on from administration, administration to administration. And then again, here comes Donald the Strong down the escalator ride, the great disruptor. He's going to drain a swamp. A couple of crocodiles, alligators in there, a couple of Loch Ness monsters maybe, or some snakes, maybe just some Democrats and Republicans possibly, huh? Take your pick. Which one would you rather face? Donald Trump, the campaigner, while he was in Texas, he comes out and he says at one of those campaign rallies, he says, a globalist is a person that wants the globe to do well. You might remember this speech. Frankly, he said, not caring about our country so much. And you know what? We can't have that. They have a word, and it sort of became old-fashioned. It's called a nationalist. And I say, really, we're not supposed to use that word. But then he comes out and he says, you know what? I'm a nationalist. He said, I'm a nationalist. I'm going to use that word. Use that word. So he comes out and he says that as this was during the campaign, now that he was a nationalist. And I remember that speech, actually, in Texas, where he said that. Now, at the same time, the CNN host, Don Lemon, there, explains that the term is a favorite of the alt-right, and it's loaded with all kinds of racial undertones and nationalist sort of viewpoints. And, of course, he said most concerning is it's linked to Adolf Hitler and Nazism. Yeah, so they went from patriotism in America and, you know, saluting the flag. And maybe that's where that whole thing came down about kneeling at the football games and all. I don't know. You know, this thing's been building for a long time, actually, right? But maybe that's where that became evil or something. They didn't want that to happen anymore. You couldn't even stand and put your hand on your heart and salute the flag without being called a white supremacist or Adolf Hitler or Nazism or some damn thing, right? I mean, nationalism became a dirty, dirty word. And so this was part of the connection that as he came in from, you know, the campaign and really won this thing. He won the whole slot machine thing. Oh, nobody expected it. They never thought that ride down the escalator would turn into this kind of a thing. He upset the globalist. And there's a lot that's more that's going to be proved on this when you start to connect what's going on in Germany with Angela Merkel, and you take a look at Macron in France, and you look at Theresa May in the UK, and you look at all of these players and a lot of others, you start to connect it, and a lot of these people are nervous, especially with a lot of this stuff that's now coming out that William Barr is finding out. You're going to find that a lot of these power players around the world were involved in this coup against the president of the United States. Did I say that out loud? Yeah, you're gonna find that's all sort of connected. That onion hasn't been peeled yet, people, but that onion is coming. And I say onion because a lot of people are gonna be crying. Right? And hopefully a lot of them are gonna end up in prison somewhere, we hope. That'll clear the decks off and drain some of the deep swamp real fast, won't it now? You could build another one of these Gitmo things and put them all in there, would be just fine. And then you remember the United Nations General Assembly when Donald Trump came out and said, I will always put America first. And I remember the sounds in that room. There was like total silence. And people were thinking, oh my God, Hitler's back again. Oh my God, Hitler's back. He's at the General Assembly of the United Nations. You remember that? That was really something else, you know. I will always put America first, and people were nervous. They were nervous. What the hell does that mean? Really nervous. So you take a look now at all the media, friends. You take a look at all of the different people and the factions that are happening here, the media giants, the social media people. They have a part of this, clearly. They're all playing. Now, you know, I don't know. Do all these people meet in a cigar smoke room in a basement somewhere? I'm not sure that that's really happening. But interesting, we could open the door and find that, wouldn't it be now? You see Mark Zuckerberg there, and you see Schmidt, and you see all of these cast of characters sitting there smoking their cigars, and right? Maybe they even got Stormy Daniels there. Who knows? You know, who could be? Maybe she's putting out for all of those cats. Maybe she's part of that whole program, right? I don't know. Then you got China, you got Russia. So you got all these players in the world that we're talking about, this globalism versus nationalism. You know, I never really looked at all of this as a problem. Even as a kid, I didn't really see this coming. I have to tell you the truth. I always thought it was pretty profitable to be an American. And to, you know, we just kind of knew, you know, that was a good thing. We put our hands on our heart with the flag. We were proud. We were proud of American exceptionalism and patriotism. But that's all become a dirty word now. You can't do that anymore because you're a white supremacist when you do that. Racism is a big deal. See, they pinned all that on the president. And then, respectively, they've pinned it all on you out there. All of his followers also fall into those same footsteps. They also become part of the problem. So these are the supporters for Trump, which has really becomes the whole MAGA hat thing. And the red hats and all that, all these people are racist. And of course, then you got black people that are wearing the red hats, the MAGA hats, and they do it just to really put their finger up to the world and say, you know, frig you, we'll do what we want to do, right? Which is kind of funny, actually. And then it's kind of hard to use the white supremacists. I mean, well, how do you be a white supremacist if you're a black American? I mean, that's pretty stupid, isn't it? How does that work? But they kind of fall into that same camp. So you see, it's just sort of a bait and switch game. They move it all around here because they're just trying to label it all with what they want to label this thing is what's happening. So I find the whole thing pretty sick, actually. And then, of course, there was the Obama administration, and he was going to fundamentally transform America. You remember that? Hope and change. Boy, I remember that speech as well. But I had a pit. Talk about a pit in your stomach. I had a pit that was the size of a watermelon in my stomach when he was out at that speech there about hope and change, right? That was scary as hell. Talk about a speech. That was a hell of a lot more scary to me than this other statement about the simple one that Trump made about America, that it was good to be an American. I mean, I didn't have a problem with that because I'm a patriot, you see? But this other one about fundamentally transforming America, what does that really mean? And I definitely had a problem with that. And, you know, I was a commentator at that point on radio, and I spoke out a lot about that. I was having a lot of troubles with that. I didn't even know what Obama was going to be. This is as he was campaigning now. And before he even got into the Oval Office. And I knew there was going to be trouble. I just knew it. You just looked at his background and you knew that. But that was a lot of that transformation of America. So friends, when you connect those years and you take a look at all of those years and then those course of a decade, I'm going to say a decade because the Bush years were pretty trashy as well. So you take the Bush years, he's another globalist and a deep state lover. You take the Bush years and the deep state years and you connect all those And actually, you got to go back to Clinton, Bill Clinton. And actually, you got to go back to, okay, all right. So the last 25 years, people. That's correct and call it what it is, right? It's been a long time. These people have been hoping and changing something. I don't know what they're trying to, but they're trying to transform America into something. It certainly changed a lot from when I was a kid. Well, let's talk about that transformation of America today, friends. I have somebody today, a guest, that thinks that she can save America. She thinks she has the recipe to save America. And that's what she's always telling me. And she's trying to rally the troops to save America.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So Karen Schoen is with us. You've read her writings on the platform on America Out Loud, friends. She's an educator, a dean, retired teacher, and she's an activist focused on saving America. And Karen, if I've ever met anyone in my life that really wants to save America and feels that in their hearts, it is you. Let's take this transformation of America now. Serious. Over the last, I started with 8 years, went to 10, and then decided, I did the math real quick, Karen, and I ended up with the last 25 years. You get where
well,
I was.
Well, you could actually go back further than that. Long, drawn out, deliberate attempt to destroy capitalism. And capitalism has been the enemy of communism since the inception of communism. Today, that's what this is really all about. That's what makes it so difficult to fight, because we're not fighting a political party. We're not fighting something tangible. We're fighting something that is a thought process or an ideology, and that is much, much harder to change.
It is an ideology. You're right. That's exactly the point of it. And these people are buckled up for the ride ahead, and they're not backing down either, which makes it a real Game of Thrones fight, I guess you would say.
You had mentioned something when you were speaking, and I said, absolutely, you're 100% right. And you said, does everybody go to a room where they get the instructions? What we've done is we've separated, and we don't realize that the media is controlled by the same people who are the globalists who want to destroy the country and destroy capitalism and the Western civilization. So the media is merely the marketing arm of their chosen group in America called the Democrat Party. And they give their orders basically through the Tides Foundation. Most of the commentators, most of the speakers, most of the people will go to the Tides Foundation and put in their little passcode, and that will tell them what they should be reporting and saying for the day. And that's why when you listen to them, they all say the same thing. And today, Nancy Pelosi said that the Democrats never said that there was not a crisis on the border. They never said that.
Well, so she forgets that we have video replay. She's still living back in 1920, you understand. That's the problem.
They don't care, because they base what they're doing, their ideology is based on what's called nihilism. Mm-hmm. And nihilism is the belief that life doesn't exist and it doesn't matter, and the only thing that's important is the present. So your truth today is the truth of the day. And you can say whatever you want to say, but if that's my truth today, that's my truth. And then tomorrow it could be a different truth.
And they can change their mind as
they
go.
They can change their mind just as easily. And that's why they will never, ever admit to anything. Deny, 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 because it was their truth of that day.
Well, it's also the deny, deny, deny is true. And then it's also whatever they're doing with their hand in the cookie jar is exactly what they're blaming on you. So they're blaming on the opposing party, and they've been perfect at that. In fact, you would grade them an AA+ probably for that skill set.
Yes, I would, and that is called psychological projection, and that was a theory of Sigmund Freud. And because when you lie, if you lie in such a way that your lie becomes so convoluted, you cannot remember what you've been lying about.
Right.
So that's how people get tripped up. They contradict themselves. But if I take my what I did, my crime, and I throw it on you, I can tell you exactly word for word how you did what you did, because I've been there, done that, seen it. So I am not going to be changing my story, and I'm not going to get tripped up. Why they're able to do that? They also just did a study that the kids in school, and this is why I harp on school so much, is that if they give the kids in school the right information, the right indoctrination, and the kids go home, they will in turn indoctrinate their parents.
Oh, it'll be reverse, you're saying. The kids will do that to the parents.
The kids will do that to the parents.
Really? How does that work? They just with what they bring home and they tell the parents and the parents believe it, you mean?
Yes, Yes, because you said 25 years, and I said not quite. We really have to go back about 60 years. That's when, in the 30s, our CIC, which is now the CIA, brought over about 1,600 communists from Germany who were escaping Hitler. And that's called Operation Paperclip, and it was just released so that everybody can read what they did. Now, these people were scientists and mathematicians, and the powers that be thought they'd do a wonderful job helping America get ahead in space and blah, blah, blah. And they were right, except for one thing. These people were communists. And where did these people go? They went to our universities. What happened after that? We began teaching communism all of a sudden, gradually, drip by drip by drip, because their belief pattern changed and evolved into the fact that they don't have to fight a war to take over. All they have to do is feed in the right information, the right lies, the right whatever, and start it in school. And they're very patient. And after 12 years, these people will then graduate and go into business, go into government, and then they will become leaders. And what they're doing now, the people of my generation in the 60s, the Jane Fondas, well, they've been the teachers. And now they're ready to hand off the mantle to the next generation, the AOCs, because they've learned so well. And yeah. This is what they believe, that they can take care of, they can eliminate the thought process of the opposition, and they do that by starting, by creating this in school. And that's why I say that, to me, the school is for us conservatives. It's the easiest place to get a hold of because it's the one closest to home. I mean, let's be real. Yes, we will have influence with our legislators. Yes, we can have influence with our president. But we have the greatest influence in our own backyard. And right. People ignore that. So who now is infiltrated our schools? Well, look at the Democrat cities. These people are globalists. Their belief is that America as America cannot exist because people are stupid and cannot rule themselves and must be ruled by a ruling class of which they are. So very simple. This is about money, power, control.
Well, and it's always been about that. I mean, it's always been about the power. I mean, it's just the way it is.
And they will do anything of which we will not do. Their hatred is for the individual. They hate an individual. They love the collective. So that you have the peer pressure, the groupthink, all of that pushing in the same direction.
Yeah. You know, I always wonder, these people you speak about, I equate it to a cult almost, a cult, okay? And so this cult that you're speaking about out there, if they were to get what they wanted at that point, this ruling class, as you say, that's a very different world than we live in now, Karen. It's an entirely different looking world. But I wonder often, do you really think these people understand that they really get how different that world will be?
They don't. They want the money and the power, and they don't want anybody else to have it. So they have to eliminate all competition, and eventually, to them, our world will somewhat resemble the Hunger Games. Yeah. That's what they're driving at. And once you go beyond their gated community, do you think that these people ever stood on a line and waited for something? I just read an article that they're now standing on line on gas lines in Venezuela, the biggest oil-rich country in the world, and the people are on gas lines. Do you think that from Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, do you think he's going to go stand on a gas line? No, he's going to call and say, get my jet ready, I'm leaving so-and-so.
That's right.
They don't care. And they are so totally removed. Yeah. And I wouldn't feel bad if they got their money legally. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. They got their money by stealing from the rest. And that's what, you know, if we recognize that, what do they think they became billionaires? There are many, many billionaires today, Bill Gates to name one, who wouldn't be a millionaire if he didn't step on the people around him.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
They have to eliminate competition.
Well, that may be the case, but you could say the same thing about Donald Trump with the description you just put. He stepped on a lot of people to get where he is.
I'm not saying that he didn't.
I'm telling you that he probably did.
Okay,
so
you don't get to the top by being nice. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue. This is a power issue. This is power.
But the point we're speaking about now is an important point, because we're talking about the fact that these people that have the means, that are the multi-billionaires, the influence, they've all stepped on people to get where they're at, Karen, every damn one of them, right? We agree on that. Yeah.
Yes.
So why is it then some of them use it maybe for good, some for not? Now, the ones that are calling Trump out, they think he's using it for bad. So there's a whole faction in this country who believe he is bad and evil. And then there are those who support him. Again, this comes back to the ideology and where we sit as a country. So what? How do you size Trump up? Does he fall in the good camp or the bad camp?
Well, the one thing I learned about success is that it has no boundaries. It doesn't matter whether you're good or bad in order to be successful.
That's right.
And Trump, I believe, channeled his energies more to good. I grew up with him. We are peers. He lived in Jamaica Estates. I lived in Forest Hills. We didn't travel in the same circles because he was above me, but we did cross paths. Mm-hmm. And he was in the limelight of all times. What he was mostly upset about and what he has very little tolerance for is incompetence. And he would beat up contractors for being incompetent. Did he do that all the time? Well, I'm sure that he stepped on a few all the time also. But a lot of times you have to go and dig around and see what it is. When you look at somebody like Bill Gates, go and read his story, all the people that he put out of business and then lied to IBM so that they would take his software processing system. So did he do it for good? He did it because he wanted to control everything. He did it because of control. He wants control. And he desperately wants to control the population. And that's another lie, folks. There is nothing wrong with 7 billion people on the planet. We have enough food. We have enough resources. We have plenty of plenty. But it makes it harder for them to control us the more we are. So what they're doing now is they have a full court press in making sure that the population dwindles.
Well, probably is, because you hear a lot about this population control lately, and then you wonder with companies like Monsanto and others who are putting all these chemicals and things in things, you begin to wonder and connect the dots.
Guess who has a controlling interest in Monsanto? Does the name Bill Gates ring a bell?
The words that are used a lot out there are the deep state. Some people are avoiding those words now. The media, like everything else, they've hijacked those words. And when you use those words, they reference that to a conspiracy. And they convince their fans, their listeners, and their viewers that that's just a conspiracy. Anytime they put those words in there, some folks are absolutely pulling back from the words deep state and using different kinds of words to describe that. But these people that are out there, that are, as you say, we talked about the room, the smoky-filled room, Karen. This is an abstract in your mind, obviously. I'm drawing for you all that you have this room. People are connected, as you just said a moment ago. You wouldn't believe how many people are connected in certain ways, as you just mentioned, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. The list goes, it's an endless list of names. Take a look at John Kerry, Hillary Clinton. What is it with, as you start to see all of these players, and the words deep state, you see a lot of these actors now on the world stage, like John Kerry with doing policy in Iran, Hillary Clinton doing policy. And the act we reference on this is the Logan Act, which says you're not supposed to, but they supposedly don't enforce it, like a lot of other things, like they don't enforce our immigration policies either, or anything else that's on the books. But what is it with these characters here? And so let's talk about the real threat that is Donald Trump, Karen. So we've got the Slogan Act. We've got all these players making policy, the deep state or at the administrative folks or whatever the hell you want to call them that are out there. What is it that really Donald Trump worries them? Because he's under their skin big time. You know that.
Because Donald Trump is not a globalist. He believes in capitalist market, and he believes in the individual. He believes that every individual has an inherent desire to excel, to succeed, to be good, to be the best that they can be. And he truly believes that. You can go back and look at his stuff from 20 years ago, and he's been saying the same thing. He believes that America is an exceptional country because we are ruled by laws, not by men. And that's what frightens them about Bill Barr also, because Bill Barr believes in the law. And he doesn't believe in the case law that they make up as they go along.
Yeah.
He believes in the logical law that's laid out in the Constitution. Yeah. So these two men are frightening to upset their proverbial apple cart of controlling the world, because they have everything planned. Everything, believe me, everything is connected. Nothing that's going on right now is random. Everything happens for a reason. Everything has a plan, and all the plans are lies. And right now, everything laid out in the United Nations, who will rise as the head and controller of this one world government, this new world order. And this is Donald Trump is standing in the way, because he's saying, no, America's not going to do that. There's no world court that's going to tell us what to do. You're a free country. Go do what you want to do. Just don't tell me what I can do in my country.
You remember now, he went after NATO. He got them to put more money in because we were fronting all the money. They got nervous as hell with that. Others, I mean, he really has changed the landscape, the political landscape around the world, and not just here by any stretch. It's around the world. You know, William Barr is an interesting man for an interesting time, Karen. And to draw the parallel, I want to remind people of something here that you just said. Why are they worried about Trump? And then you said, well, they're worried about Barr as well, and they are. The first time Barr, he was about unanimous when he got the first time out to become attorney general. I mean, there was no argument against him. He was the right man for the job. They did not want William Barr in this shot around. There's no question. He barely got by, 54 to 45. How do you go from about a unanimous decision and getting a complete approval to all of a sudden barely escaping and getting in there? But they were trying to stop him and do everything they could to stop him.
Absolutely. And they were frightened of him because they know that he will follow the law. And when that happens, if he allows this to be, that's why they're trying to smear him, so that everything he does right now that comes after this big smear, they'll be able to say, well, see, he's just a Trump boy. No, he's not a Trump boy. He's a man who believes in the law. And he likes to follow the law and doesn't believe that the law should be different for different people.
Yeah.
And that's what Donald Trump admires about America, is that everybody has the same law that they have to follow. Everybody has the same opportunity to succeed in whatever it is that they want to succeed. Yeah. And the globalists can't handle that, because they believe that everything has to be controlled by the state, because only the state is smart. Everybody else is dumb. And therefore, they must be the leaders, because you're too stupid to lead yourself.
If everything is what we're putting out there, then the fight we're in right now, and that we're speaking about, that we talk on globalism versus nationalism and this collision that we're on here, this would be bigger than, Karen, than World War I, World War II, the Civil War we've had here, any of the wars we've had throughout the years. This would be bigger than all of those.
Absolutely. And it is. And the one thing that made it different is the internet.
Yeah.
Because in the Revolutionary War, in the Civil War, you didn't have instantaneous communication.
Right.
And that's what they're so afraid of also. And that's why censorship is so important to them, because you can't perpetuate a lie if the opposition is going to call you on it. So what you have to do is convince everyone that the opposition is spewing hate speech, and hate speech is not allowed. But nobody says, well, what is hate speech? Nobody asks those questions, like nobody said to Obama, really, what does transform America mean? Mm-hmm. Nobody asked them that.
Yeah.
So nobody asks the backup questions. I'm a racist. You're a racist, Karen. Really, show me where I'm a racist. Show me where I said something racist. Because if everything is racist, then nothing is racist.
Well, and everything is racist today. No, right. That's a beautiful thing to say, because everything is racist today. And white privilege is the other thing that comes up a lot these days, which it makes my skin crawl when I hear this crap, you know?
Privilege,
I mean, any success metric at all, and it's white privilege somehow. And somehow we have these different vernaculars that are put out there, and these words we put into these little buckets, Karen, and then it really is about, well, transforming the public. I mean, it's brainwashing the public is what I see.
Exactly. That is exactly what it is. And they follow what Hitler said to a T, which he said is, if you make the lie big enough and you tell it often enough, it'll be believed.
It's still almost very difficult for many listening to wrap their minds around. A lot of people ignore this conversation of globalism, Karen. They don't buy it.
Well, that's why it's hard to conceptualize.
That's right.
It's such a big topic, and that's why I say, do you think America is worth saving? Look at your schools, because that's
right.
Something everybody can touch. When you go and you see in a textbook, and it says Donald Trump is a mental moron.
That's right.
And all of his followers are deplorable. So if we don't pay attention to what's close by, we certainly can't think of what's way beyond.
So why is it that, as you put out there now, all of these factions are owned, the education system, the universities, K-12, the entire education system is lock, stock, and barrel owned by the far left. I mean, they're running the whole program. When you say, well, that's an easy one, it's not really easy. You say, well, it's not easy at all. It's closest to us, yes, but it's totally, the conservatives are not controlling that. But here's the thing. Why is it, where have the conservatives been in that fight? And where have the conservatives been with owning social media outlets? Where have they been with owning the television outlets and the newspapers and the media and the social media and the tech companies and the search engines? So where are they all in that? And why do the far radical left lunatics own all that?
Well, remember when we said success can be good and evil? If you step on your opponent and you steal from your opponent, that's one way that gets it started. The other thing is that the American people, the middle America, mm-hmm. was taught to be the silent majority. So they're following what they were taught. They were taught that their vote doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything. You don't have to vote. And if they were taught, look at the atrocities.
So you're saying the big part of America has been a bunch of pansies.
Exactly. And that's why, even though it may be difficult mm-hmm. to actually change the schools, you don't have to look at it in mass. What we have to do is look at it through their eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, they are spewing diversity and equality. That's all you hear. Diversity and equality, diversity and equality.
Absolutely.
So we need to go to school mm-hmm. and say, wait a minute, if you're teaching that America is evil because mm-hmm. we blew up a bridge in Japan, then we have to say why America did that and what Pan also did to do that, because that's equality. That's diversity. We don't demand that. The Muslims will go in and they will demand a room. Where are the Christians? Where are the Jews? If I was in that neighborhood and I had to school, I'd go back to school and I'd say, okay, give the Muslims their room. That's okay. That's fine. I'm Jewish. I want a room for my kids. He's Christian. He wants a room for his kids. We don't do that. We accept.
No, they're lying down. They are pansies. They're lying down. Yeah, all in the name of equality. You're right. I mean, I've been seeing things lately with Muslim prayer rooms that are rising up all through the schools. Yet you can't even put a manger scene out there when the holiday comes without being assassinated.
We can. If you didn't, that's the thing. It's not that you can't.
Yeah.
It's that we don't push for it. Every school district that pushed for it wins.
Yeah.
You win flat out. And there are even attorneys who will go and do this pro bono. But the school districts don't push for it.
It is
and
so
the parents
ironic.
Don't push for it. You have to be tolerant and you have to be politically correct. So they put these things in place that immediately ostracizes anybody who has an opposing viewpoint.
Yeah, it's all in the name of equality.
They're not going to be able to do it. We have to help them. That's what we have not been doing. You can't give them something and say, here, go read it and make your own decision. They're incapable of doing that. We have to help them. We have to guide them. We have to show them. We have to talk to them. But they're not going to do it themselves.
We have to help them. We have to show them. We have to do something. Well, that's... It is a headbanger. There's no question. I mean, the whole equality thing and how these things, and I've gotten not to like these words anymore. And it was never this way, people. I mean, but the words equality, the words diversity. Well, I'll tell you what, let's bring the Peanut Gallery on here next and try. Maybe they'll have some answers for that age-old question I keep asking. Banging my head against the wall, people, here. Let's go find some more equality and diversity.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
I'm going to ask you to go to thewoundedblue.org. That's www.thewoundedblue.org. That is the website for the organization that is the National Association for Injured and Disabled Police Officers. It is a support organization for these men and women who have given so much in the line of duty. We desperately need your help to raise money to get this movement going. And if you are a GoFundMe-er, go to GoFundMe, look up The Wounded Blue, and you can give there as well. But check it out, please, and also check out our film, The Wounded Blue, on Amazon.com.
Okay, joining us now, Linda Martinelli. She's an entrepreneur, owner, president of Proforma Graphic Prints. So she's a weekly columnist, friends, on America Out Loud here, and the host of Talking While Married on the platform, Jim McKay. Jim is a political analyst, commentator, radio producer, and a 30-year background in technology, telecommunications, pharmaceuticals. Great to have both. And help me out, guys. I got to tell you what. And you hear Karen. Boy, she is an encyclopedia, I have to tell you. She is a definite encyclopedia. But I asked her that age-old question. I threw her up and said, okay, are we pansying them? I thought she would defend middle America and say, you know, that's why I threw that word that way. Like, okay, you know, we're not going to assault the whole country, right? So they're being pansies. And is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Jim, was that the right way to go? I mean, do you agree with her?
You know, it boils down to a very simple thing of principles. Christianity believes in the golden rule. Other factions around the world believe in a rule of do unto them before they do unto you, just the reverse. A lot of our political people also don't play by the golden rule, so we should say. So yeah, conservatives tend to be highly religious people. They play by the rule book. And you know what they say about good guys finishing first? It doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen. Right? Interesting, Jim. So you really believe that, right?
Very much so. Okay. You just look down through the history of the world. I mean, some people say Christianity ruined the Roman Empire, and it did. It put an end to it, really.
Yeah. All right, Linda. So I really have a problem with this, and I've pointed it out so many times, I really never get a straight answer back. But Jim just verifies that as well, and he's saying that really the conservatives, what he's saying is they've been pushovers. I mean, is that the case, Lynn?
I do think we've been pushovers. And, you know, it's interesting because I just had this conversation this morning with someone, and what's happening right now is people that are in situations in the United States where they don't like their situation, the first thing that they are doing is they are moving. So they're moving out of where they are to get a better situation. When they find that that bad situation follows them, I really believe that people will rise up in this country and that we have a possibility of a civil war, because we're not going to sit back and let these people take our country. And if we do, you know, obviously then we're lost. But I so agree with Karen in the education part, because this has been a long-term process of brainwashing our children. And I've talked about this for 30 years, that this was happening and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And now you're seeing the results of these kids that have come out, and look what we have running for president. This is where the problem has been. And we do have to go back to basics and teach our kids in the schools. In higher learning in this country, only 40% of schools even have one conservative professor. We need to get conservatives back into teaching the schools, and we need to get those textbooks changed, and we need parents to get involved and say, no, this is not acceptable. I have two neighbors that just moved out of California and came to Texas because they're teaching LGBT, I didn't know the initials, Malcolm, LGBTQ, whatever it is, instead of
PQR.
Yeah, instead of civil rights, instead of history, they have taken those things out of the history books. And if our students cannot study history to see how we got where we are and why we did the things that we did, we're going to be lost. We have to teach them, because that is how we get to the future, is from the past. And if they don't have that to stand on, where do we go?
You know, the jeopardy we're in right now, based on what you both put out there, is pretty striking to me, actually. When we, for a long time, I never believed this argument of the globalist. Full disclosure to all of you here, I never really bought into this. I thought it was a bunch of conspiracies and rubbish, and I never really understood what they were talking about, truthfully, you know, over the years now, I'm saying, you know. And now when you size it all up and you really start to connect the dots, you know, even me, who I'm not a conspiracy kind of guy, I'm not an Alex Jones kind of dude, you know, I live in the real world here. And yet I see what's happening. I see it in full daylight now. I see what's going on. And what amazes me truly is, with everything you just put out there, Linda and Jim, yourself, I think that the fact that they let them steal it all, and as you say, there's only in some cases one conservative professor there. That's absolutely correct. I've looked at this. I've looked at the numbers on this, Linda. It's absolutely correct. I've also looked at everything they own and that the right does not own. And it's striking. It is absolutely alarming. And I continue to wonder how or why or where did we get here? And everybody keeps giving me different answers. But I have to say, even if we had purchased, even if the conservative people, conservative-minded people, to the degree that it is, I mean, even if they had done half of this, if they had bought a third of these things, the technology companies, the social media companies, the television networks, the newspapers, the college professors, the universities, the upper management in these universities and education system, if we had even done a third, let alone a half, I mean, we'd be far better off today. But like, we're at a point where we don't got shit, Jim. I mean, we don't got nothing. We got nothing. I mean, we basically are running the local lemonade stand. We're running businesses. I mean, we're making money, I guess. But like, conservatives don't own anything. I mean, they don't own any of these enterprises. I mean, Fox News, whatever that does for you. I mean, they're also looking out of the left side of their belly button these days, you know? Talk to me.
Yeah, even Fox News. I mean, that's part of Rupert Murdoch's empire. Yeah. And he just lets them go along as they do because they make a lot of money. No other reason. And he'll put his finger on it more and more to move it towards the left if it's necessary to win the election.
Well, that's what he's doing. He's doing all these crazy campaign things, Jim, with all these Pete Buttigieg and, you know, and Beto O'Rourke dude and the rest. I don't even know what they all make up names and, you know, and I haven't watched a single one of them. I would not torture myself for an hour to watch these clowns on a stage. I mean, it's a total waste of my human life to watch these clowns that Linda says, well, they're coming from our education system, and it's like 23, 25. There'll be probably a couple of thousand of them lined up on the left by the time we're done, by the time we get to November that year, you know, or whatever they go through their debates, right, Jim?
and the big thing is when you say, why are they so anti-Trump? It's because they have so much to lose if he continues on and the conservative movement could take hold for another 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. It's all going to become exposed. I mean, Barr right now is a number one lightning rod for them. They are just after his butt. And to discredit him and everything that's going to come out in the next month from whether it's the IG or the new investigations, they want to discredit it all.
I wonder. I keep hearing that, but I heard that a year ago, Linda. You remember when, like Jim saying, the IG report, when Horowitz does this, and when that happens, and when, you know, and when the moon rises just slightly and the sun sets just a little bit, you can see Phoenix from my window as well, Linda, you know? I don't know what the hell all that means, but huh?
You know, the one
thing. Or is it Alaska from my window? I'm sorry, not Phoenix, right?
The one thing that's happening that I love is through all of this, President Trump forges forward. And he's just this horse with blinders on, and he's going the way he's going. And every day when I look at the news, he's done something new, and I love it. And they are afraid of that. And they are afraid of that he does have that inherent belief in people and their desire to be the best at what they do. And I do too. And this is what I don't want to see destroyed in our kids. You know, the whole give everybody a trophy and don't let anybody have a spelling bee so nobody wins and excels. You know, that's wrong. God didn't create us all equal. You know, we're equal in his eyes. We are not equal in every way of our lives with each other. We all excel in some things and we all don't excel in some things. And that's what makes the world work. So we're not all just little lemmings. And that's what they want us to be.
And I shake my head with understanding, with not understanding what that accomplishes. But like Karen would say, well, that gives them power and world dominance. And then to do what? Well, that's to corrupt the whole system. And that's to like drop us in the tank. And that's to like the word equality. You know, Linda, I have really grown to hate the word equality. Shouldn't be that way, should it?
I agree with you. That I hate the word discriminate. It's so overused.
Diversity. Right?
And the whole thing against white men and, you know,
white privilege.
All these things, all these names that they throw out constantly is to make us be quiet. It's to shame us and make us be quiet. And we need to stop thinking that way. And we need to reject those mantles and go forward with what we're doing. You know, their whole game is to quiet us and on our voice from making other people join our side and our movement and our conservatism and our constitutional, you know, the love of the Constitution of America, which seems to be something that they want to destroy. And I don't understand it either, Malcolm. It's frustrates me every day.
Beyond me. Yeah, it's beyond me, Linda. You and I come from the same school of, because the independents, what she's saying, Jim, is we got to track those independents. We get that. That's the middle part of the deal we keep talking about, but you know, how do we do that? And we're still talking ideology here. We, like when Linda says, well, we or they, or see, it's always we and they. That's the problem we're dealing with in the country, but it kind of is that way, Jim, sadly.
The Constitution doesn't guarantee anything. The word entitlement never appears in the Constitution or any of the amendments. Yeah. Opportunity, equality do appear. And the Constitution is a guarantee only in the opportunities to participate, to be equal under the law, and not have it specific. I mean, now they're calling out more bills to grant more division of race and creed and color for specific things. You cannot legislate humanity in that way. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and they're trying.
I agree with that.
Linda, what's one point you did not agree that Karen said? Is there anything you did not agree with?
I don't think that there's anything that I didn't agree with. I think that there's things I agreed with more than other things. And I don't know who the they is that she refers to all the time. I don't know who exactly those people are and how all these people are connected, although I don't doubt that they are. But somehow the world has changed pretty rapidly in my lifetime, and it's scary. And it's that's scary. Why I try to be involved as much as I can be involved.
And you do. You do.
And do it's, something.
It's so right, Jim, Linda. They're in that smoky-filled room. You know, the smoky-filled room we talked about. Yeah. I got to go in there, turn the lights on, Jim, and see them run like a bunch of cockroaches that they are, right? Right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, anything you disagree with, Jim, that she said?
No, I really agree. You know, they are those people that have been around in government for so long, they forget who they serve. They don't serve anybody except themselves in their own re-elections. I think the only way out of big government is to start cutting it to pieces and instituting
good luck with that.
Term limits at the congressional levels.
We can't get, and they got to vote the term limits in. The cats who are profiting from this are the ones that got to do it. And so we can't get term limits in. We can't limit the size and scope of government because they want more and more and more. Both administrations, both the parties do, rather, both ideologies do. They love more government. As I was saying just the other day, Barack Obama, he grew government to 100%, the debt 100% in his term of office. President Trump has already grown at 10% in his short time with more government. And, you know, no one's really paying attention to the debt. It's $22.3 trillion right now, growing fast. You go to the clock and you get a headache just watching the numbers move. You'll need some Prozac by the time you're done, you know. Right? I mean, that's what we're dealing with.
The thing that is really amazing to me right now is that you have the governor of California making rewriting the laws that people have voted for just arbitrarily on his own, and they are sitting back and saying nothing. And I mean, that's a whole new paradigm for me, where people vote for the death penalty and he says, nah, I don't think I want to have that, so we're going to get rid of it. And he's just being his own king there.
Yeah, they're his own king. Yeah.
And the people are saying nothing. I don't understand.
No, they don't. That's exactly it. And which is what we pointed out on this program, their pushovers is what we're saying. I mean, the people have allowed a lot of this stuff to go on. And here we are. We're at a point of a very contentious moment where, you know, decisions have to be made where the country is going down a path. I mean, you just look at all the characters running for president in 2020 and you get a sense of the fact that, you know, where are all the good guys and gals, right? Where are they all? We don't see a lot of them around, actually, here. It is globalism versus nationalism. It's something I never subscribed to in my life. I never really thought, as Linda was just saying, she thought also that, you know, she couldn't believe how much it's changed in her lifetime. That's exactly how I feel, people. I can't believe it's changed that much in my lifetime. How about you out there? Do you also say the same thing, like that you can't believe how much has changed in your lifetime? And are you happy with this change? Because that's really the question that we've got to answer here. If you're not happy with the change, what do we do about it? You know, we ask that all the time, but then what do we do about it? Where do we go with this thing? And it's something we need to consider the alternatives here, people. I mean, you know, I mean, and what are those alternatives? It really is time. It's, you know, again, as I say to you all the time, my message to we the people, it's time to get involved and get loud. Friends, the Out Loud Truth continues back at AmericaOutLoud.com.